Hello, welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to our Acts Bible study. This is lesson one and it's day two. And I'm already hearing great things back from those of you who have jumped into this study. So it's so encouraging. It's exciting that you're exciting to me that you're excited to be in the study. So we're going to jump into our study now of Acts. We just finished lesson one and the introduction. Hopefully you've listened to both of those or at least completed those on your own. And you're ready to jump in and actually get into this overview that we're going to start of Acts. And if you didn't listen to the talk yet, you might have missed this, but let me just tell you right now. The next few days of our study are set aside for giving a big flyover, a big overview of the entire book of Acts. We'll take about four chapters a day. We'll read a chapter, answer a couple of questions, read a chapter, answer a couple of questions each day. And that will give us this big overview, kind of like, well, if you look up things on a map, if you're like me and you use your phone and you get the Google Maps out, oh, look at my cute doggy. Can't quite see your face. Anyway. If you go into Google Maps, you set your destination, you get ready to go. The first thing I like to do is see that overview of generally where am I heading, that big picture. And then I get into the maps and go, well, that's exactly the concept here of starting our Bible study, is to get this big overview and then to break it down and kind of really live in Acts throughout the rest of our study. So let's pray and get started. Grab your Bible, grab your cup of coffee, or if it's later in the day, your water, like it is for me right now. And let's go ahead and get into our study. Let's pray. Father God, we ask that you would go before us like you always have and prepare our hearts and our minds to be in the Word, to let it dwell in us richly. Thank you for our time together right now as we focus and come together for the beauty of the message in your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go ahead and start. I'm going to hit the share screen button. Oh, speaking of screens, I know you noticed there's no green screen behind me today. I don't know. I just felt like, going back in time. If you've been with us in previous studies, I've always kind of sat here and then I switched it up and sat in my office. And today I thought I'd just be back down here. The lighting is not as good. I don't have my big light set up. So I feel like my eyes are kind of dark today, but anyway. All right, let me hop over to the lesson. And while I'm doing that hop over, I want to just remind you to drop a comment, say hi, let me know that you're listening. It's always great just to hear from you and have that sense that we are in community together. So whether you're just listening on the podcast or you're watching on the video, hello, it's good to see you. Well, I don't get to actually see you, but it's good to be seen, as my dad used to say. But it's good to have you here in the Bible study. All right, there we go, frozen screen for a second there. Lesson one, again, day two, we're on page 9 of your Bible study packet, so open up to that. And as always, we begin with writing our memory verse, which is Acts 4, verse 12. I've called that up in my Bible Gateway, and I went ahead and set the settings on Bible Gateway to show everything. So it's got the headings, and you can see the little letters and numbers there for the footnotes and cross-references. Let's go ahead and read and start getting into the flow of writing out our memory verse. And maybe even as I'm speaking right now, you've got your pen or pencil ready and you are handwriting out that Bible verse. Good for you. Gold star. Let's see if we can have it memorized in 2 weeks. Remember the good old days when we were kids and we could actually remember a Bible verse like in a day of practicing it? Now we've got so much stuff on our mind, we barely have time to do it at all and get it sunk into our brains. And here we are taking 2 whole weeks for this teeny tiny little verse. Let's go ahead and do it together. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Write that down at the top heading of your page right there. And let's go ahead and move on to our scripture focus for the day and our tip. Our scripture focus will be Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 4. And here's your tip for the day. Read each question before beginning. Do you remember that when you were in school and the teachers would say that to you as a study tip for prepping for a test and what have you? It's a really good one for you right now. So let's go ahead and do that. We're going to begin by writing Acts 2, 15 through 16. And just a reminder, those Write the Word pages are in the back of this lesson. Jump back there and pause this recording right now and add on the next 2 verses. By the end of this lesson, you will have written that whole passage, most of the sermon that Peter gives at the beginning here of Acts. All right, we're going to start by reading Acts 1, and you're going to Take note of what you found interesting and any key people that come up. Acts chapter 2, what is the day of Pentecost? Look that up in your study notes or another resource. Describe the tone of Peter's sermon. So that tips you off, there's a sermon coming up, and we're going to describe it in three words. Read Acts chapter 3, and then what does Peter offer instead of gold or silver? And what is Peter's admonition and promise in verses 19 and 20? And then finally, Acts 4. How were the religious leaders responding to their preaching? Who was preaching? And how were Peter and John described by the leaders? And finally, what does Barnabas's name mean? And then over here on our side column, you're going to see this in every single lesson, because as we move through each lesson, I want us to pay attention to what we are learning about God, Jesus, or he'll be referred to as the Lord, the Holy Spirit, spiritual life in general, how you're seeing it exemplified in Acts. Spiritual life, that would be things like fasting, praying, teaching, preaching, going, doing, anything that we do as a result of being a Christian, committing our life to Christ. What does that look like in the spirit for us then? And then any other things that you're learning about and seeing as you go through the lessons. All right, let's hop over to scripture, and we're going to read Acts chapter 1 with these two questions in mind. I found it interesting that, and then key people in this chapter are. I'll be reading today again from the English Standard Version. Sorry for the pause there. I was mentally trying to decide if I was going to get rid of the footnotes, and I think I'm going to just read through them and not worry about it. I'm going to make my head a little bit smaller so I can see more scripture. Here we go. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up and he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." That's incredible. I might write that down as my "I found it interesting" part. I'm just picturing that whole scene in my head. All right. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, that's a lot, and said, "Brothers, the scripture has to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who were arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out." And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, "May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it." Wow. "Let another take his office." Of course, we're talking about Judas here. "So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. That wraps up chapter 1. Let's go back to our questions. I found it interesting. Well, there's a couple things. The part that I said, you know, earlier about visualizing all of this, I thought it was interesting, this part here about two men stood by them in white robes. I'm just thinking, my goodness, I mean, just read that, like, oh, well, two men stood by them. Like, that's just miraculously, just two men just appear in white robes. It's pretty amazing. So that's interesting. But I think it's interesting that they cast lots. I mean, they basically rolled the dice to see which one. Is this going to be this justice guy or Matthias? And it ends up being Matthias. And that was an ordained acceptable practice in a way of making a decision. We're going to be touching on that a little more when we come to the dig deep Bible study part. But if you want to look in on your own, I really do encourage you to do your own homework on that and understanding and do some more reading. And what, like I said in the Bible study startup lesson, my opening talk, really, 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 really want to stress, do not use a commentary for this initial digging into the word. You've got all of these cross-references. Use those instead. It is way easier to just look down below in the study notes of your Bible. Way, way easier to hop on the interwebs and Google something. But you will short-circuit the learning process in your own brain, and the Bible will become to you just something that you can Google. And we want to treasure the word, and we want to bring it into our life and our heart and our mind with respect that it deserves. So I encourage you to do that. If you want to dig deeper, start with the cross references and then bring in the commentaries later to probably affirm the thoughts that you had or to challenge your thinking on that as well. Trust the process again. This is something I said in our last study. All right. So I found it interesting. I just shared that with you. And key people in this chapter, there was quite a few. In fact, there was a whole paragraph that just listed people after people after people. We begin with Theophilus and the Lord Jesus himself and these two men. But really the key people would be Peter. I'll highlight him here. And then all these guys here, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip, and so on. So write those down. Those are the key people. This is them deciding who this new replacement is going to be for Judas. All right, let's head over to chapter 2 and review our questions. What is the day of Pentecost? Look that up in your study notes or other resource. And then describe the tone of Peter's sermon in 3 words. This is a tipping your hand. You're going to hear a sermon, the first sermon preached after Jesus is resurrected and ascends into heaven. Here we go. Acts chapter 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived. Well, there it is, Pentecost right there. So take a look. A, here's your footnote, go to Pentecost, and you have all these cross references. We're gonna look at those in just a minute, but you should have your Bible open as well, and you'll be able to see those. They were all together in one place. Then suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting and divided. Tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, a devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each one of us in his own language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said, they are filled with new wine. So Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Wow. All right, wrapping up chapter 2. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship too, by the breaking of the bread and of prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Wow, I can't wait to dig into that chapter. Okay, so what's the day of Pentecost? You can look this up in a study. You can literally Google this. That's another resource. I Googled it for you. All right, Pentecost is an actual day. It's still observed to this day. It's in 2020, coming up on May 31st. Here's a dictionary definition. The Christian festival celebrating the descent of the Holy Spirit on the disciples of Jesus after his ascension, held on the seventh Sunday after Easter. The Jewish festival of Shavuot. Okay, so that's what it would have been referring to in that moment. It is a word of Greek origin, penta, 50, and kost means like of the day or something like that. And so Pentecost is the 50th day. And so that was the Greek way to refer to the Jewish festival of Shavuot. And then describing the tone of Peter's sermon in three words. How would you describe it? Go ahead and drop your comment below here and let me know. How would you describe Peter's sermons in three words? All right, Acts chapter 3. The lame beggar healed. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John were, let's read the questions again. It's always nice to have those in our brain as we're moving ahead. What does Peter offer instead of gold or silver? And what is Peter's admonition and promise in verses 19 and 20? Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Wow, what a name. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at it? As though by our own power or piety we have made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy Spirit and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers, and you shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people.' And all the prophet who has spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." Wow. Back to our lesson. What does Peter offer instead of gold or silver? Healing. And what is Peter's admonition and promise in verses 19 and 20? Let's take a look. "Repent, therefore, and turn back, and your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus." So what's the admonition? Repent, turn back, right? And what's the promise? That your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you. Chapter 4. How are the religious leaders responding to their preaching? Who was preaching? And how are Peter and John described by the leaders? And finally, Barnabas' name and the meaning of Barnabas' name. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 4. "As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, 'By what power or by what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, who has become, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. Should sound familiar, since that is our memory verse. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them, charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And so Peter and John just kept quiet from that point forward. No, of course not. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Wow. All right, so how were the religious leaders responding to their preaching? They were annoyed and concerned and telling them to stop. And who was preaching? Well, Peter and John were preaching. And later on, we find out that they were all being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were all teaching and testifying to what they had seen. And how were Peter and just John described by the leaders? Well, if you look back at Peter, you can see the leaders. They saw the boldness of them. They perceived they were uneducated, common men, and they were astonished. And then what does Barnabas's name mean? Well, we see it right here. Barnabas's name, which means son of encouragement. All right. So that wraps us up for today's lesson. Great job. This is the pattern that we're going to be in for the rest of this two-week lesson, the remaining 8 days, I guess it is now at this point, where we read, answer questions, read, answer questions. So I hope you'll continue to join me. Don't forget to say hi. And remember, as always, as you move on with the rest of your day, whether you're beginning it right now or getting ready to close it off, you are loved and prayed for. And I look forward to seeing you at our next Bible study. Bye-bye for now.